The book of Isaiah. We come today to Isaiah chapter 54. Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Continuing going verse by verse through this book, verse 1 of chapter 54 says, "Sing, O barren, you who have not born, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not travailed with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord." When God's people were in exile, the worship of God in Jerusalem was stopped, and few people came to know the Lord as a result. But with their restoration, many will be saved. Many will become children of God, and that's what this is referring to. 2. Enlarge the place of your tent, and let them stretch out the curtains of your habitations. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. In other words, make room for the huge number of people who will be saved. 3. For you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. The saved will be busting at the seams. And this especially took place in the early days of the church when so many Hebrews came to Christ, I mean by the thousands. 4. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, nor be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth, and will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. God is saying, don't be afraid. What I'm telling you is true, and the promise is certain. 5. For your Maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. God's greatness and absolute power guarantees the great future of his people. Verse 6. For the Lord has called you like a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, like a youthful wife when you were refused, says the Lord. God cast his people aside to teach them not to rebel, but God loves his people and will certainly comfort them when they repent. That was true for Israel, but that is true for all of God's people of every age. That's just how God does business. 7. For a mere moment I have forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you. With a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on you. The agreement God made with his people was an everlasting agreement, an everlasting covenant. God's anger does not mean that he has stopped loving his people. God's discipline is a manifestation of his love. Verse 9. For this is like the waters of Noah to me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be angry with you nor rebuke you. God promises that his people will never again be punished in such a terrifying manner. 10. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. God promises that he will never stop loving his people. His pity for us will never cease either, and we are pitiful, so that's a good thing. 11. O you afflicted one, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay your stones with colorful gems and lay your foundations with sapphires. I will make your pinnacles of rubies, your gates of crystal, and all your walls of precious stones. God is telling his people that though they suffer for their sin, the future will be better than ever. 13. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. When God teaches his people, and they accept his word, the benefits will be great. And this is especially true when one receives the word of God and remembers the word of God concerning Christ. The benefit of that is peace that surpasses all understanding. 14. In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Security is another benefit of walking with the Lord. He will protect those who stay close to Him. 15. Indeed, they shall surely assemble, but not because of me. Whoever assembles against you shall fall for your sake. Anyone who attacks God's people will fail. Their attempts to hurt will backfire. Verse 16, Behold, I have created the blacksmith who blows the coals in the fire, who brings forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the spoiler to destroy. God creates the skilled worker who makes weapons, and He creates the armies who use them. God is sovereign over these sorts of things. People don't think about that, but that's the truth. Verse 17, No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. God promises that nothing used against His people will succeed. God actually promises that all things, including bad things, will be used for good. Chapter 55, Ho, everyone who thirst, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come and buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. The word of God, taken in by a hungry soul, will satisfy like a good home-cooked meal. Satisfaction, even without all the calories. Verse 3, Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul will live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. God says, if you want to live, I mean really live, then hear me and obey me. Jesus said that He came to give us life, and life abundantly. The best life is the life that is lived for Jesus. 4. Indeed, I have given Him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. David was God's witness to the world. His godly leadership would lead to blessing, which would lead to an opportunity to tell everyone in the whole world, all other nations, how great God is. And that's the way God intended it to be. You see, He wanted Israel to be godly. He wanted Israel to be holy. He wanted to bless Israel as a result. And He wanted to use that as a witness to the rest of the world that didn't know Him. 5. Surely you shall call a nation who do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for He has glorified you. When Christians live righteously, God puts Himself on display in them, and as a result, the righteous will be drawn to them. That's what happened with Israel. That's what is to happen with us today, too. Verse 6, Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. God is not a long way from you. Actually, He is so close that if you whisper a prayer, He will hear. And that's the way it is now. But it won't be that way forever. Today, the Bible says, is the day of salvation. 10 seconds from now, it may be too late. You may be dead. 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. And that's talking about repentance. And repentance is necessary for salvation. If we want God's pity and forgiveness, then we must give up our bad way of living. 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. We can come up with a great idea and then plan how we will cause it to all work out. But just because we think it's right doesn't mean that God thinks that it's right. If he doesn't think it's right, it's just not going to happen. 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God's plans are more wonderful than ours. Even our long-term plans are short-term compared to his. His plans cover all the bases and do what's best for us in the long run. 10. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth the bud and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Yeah, rain and snow fall from the sky, but they do not evaporate back into the clouds until they have first watered the ground and helped the crops to grow. So verse 11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. God's word is like rain. God's word does not return to him without any results, without no results, I should say. God's word has power when it is spoken. It always accomplishes something. Verse 12, for you shall go out with joy, God says, and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. The Israelites were leaving their life of slavery because they had turned back to God. And so that's why it was a great time of happiness for all. Repentance always leads to happiness. The hard part is getting a sinner to cry uncle. 13. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. God reverses the curse of sin when people repent. He promises to make up for the years that the locusts have eaten. God does not hold a grudge. One reason he punishes his people is so that he can bless them after they repent. He's not in the business of holding grudges. We stop there. Until next time, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.